Okay, so we're on, we're live. Hey, how you doing, guys? It's Jiten. I haven't been online doing a podcast in a long time. Almost forgot what the name of the app on my phone for this podcasting, and it's called Anchor. Not Wanker, Anchor.
I thought it was here. Here,
it is. That's the name of the show.
Here.
The name of the app is called Anchor. So here, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Today we have a special guest. Oh my God, this is amazing. I got a, being Indian, you know, we love free things. So I got a free ticket to see a show, and we are the Secret Comedy Club. It's no secret now because, you know, 50 million people listening to my show, of course. And it's announced now, and I'm here with one of the amazing performers.
The oldest stand-up comedian.
Who is? I'll let her introduce herself.
Len Ruth Miller.
Welcome to the show.
I just came back from Germany.
We'll get a bit closer.
Where I tried to make a lot of Germans laugh. I wouldn't suggest it, but I also taught a comedy class.
Wow.
And it was absolutely amazing. These were all, they were sort of like you.
Right.
They were people that had either dabbled in comedy, but weren't really established on the circuit.
Or
they didn't like the reaction they were getting and wanted to tighten up their sets. Mm-hmm. It was different than teaching a comedy to people that have never ever done it before, because you don't have to start at the very beginning, but you do have to go over the basics, and I hope that you're taking a course now. You know, the basics are so simple. It's just to do a joke, it's set up, punch. That's
right.
It. Set up, punch. Cut the words out, and don't use qualifiers. Do you know what a qualifier is? That's being almost pregnant. You're not almost pregnant. You're pregnant or you're not.
Right.
No qualifiers.
So either you're going to go for a shit or you're not.
That's right. It's not going to go for almost for a shit, because you're going to be in trouble. It's going to go down your leg.
Okay.
So you don't, that's what you don't do. But what you...
And at 85, has that happened to you yet?
No, it has not.
Okay.
Thank God. I was very well toilet trained. I had a very anal mother.
Right.
And there was that was supposed to be in my set, very, very anal. I was toilet trained practically as I came out. She said, "For God's sake, don't poop. I can't stand it." So I said, okay.
Right.
Teaching in Germany was really interesting. The reason it was interesting is because my class, I had 10 people, and they were all English, only three of them was English their first language.
Right,
so the thing you have to think is how difficult it is to do comedy, which is based on nuance and on double entendre, in your second language.
Right, okay.
We did a show at the end, and they were, all right. But when I realized, oh my God, this is their second language,
right.
It's marvelous.
Wow.
It was absolutely marvelous. It was very exhilarating, because I have a lot of doubts about comedy courses.
Right.
I think they are exorbitantly expensive for what they give you.
Mm.
But this one, I actually... worked.
Right.
So that's it. So,
but you would say that you're leading it.
What?
You would say that because you're leading it.
Oh no, I don't do that many.
Right, really?
And I got the young organizer very angry because I thought he charged too much. I don't believe it should be that expensive, because the way that you learn comedy is, there's only one way, and that's by doing it and listening to your audience.
Sure.
But so you're interested in being a vegan? You were a vegan?
I refuse to call myself vegan now, because there's vegan militants, extremists in every area of the world, and you say that and you have a bit of chocolate that contains 0.0001% of milk chocolate, you're out. I don't want to see you.
Let me tell you something about these food fads, and that includes vegetarianism, and that includes vegans. People use it as a means to get attention to themselves, and I know everybody's going to hate me, say, no, I love animals, or no, I can't eat gluten, which is a bunch of shit as well, because most of the population can eat gluten, And with vegetarianism, where they say to me, well, we love animals.
Right.
Well, did you ever think that maybe a radish has feelings? I mean, you're killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to kill something to eat it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill a carrot. Yeah. You kill a chicken. Whatever. But I had an eating disorder. I was anorexic and bulimic.
Right.
And I fought it for almost 40 years. It's extremely difficult to control to control an eating disorder, because you can't do like with alcoholism.
Right.
Alcoholism, you can say, okay, no alcohol. Yeah. With an eating disorder, you can say, okay, no food.
Right.
And of course, since I was anorexic, I can say, yeah, no food,
yeah,
okay.
There's no 12-step plan.
There's no 12-step plan.
Either you're going to the toilet to puke up, or, you know,
that's
you're
it.
Not eating.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's when I would go for 2-3 weeks without eating anything.
Wow.
I was very good. But I went.
Are they giving out Guinness Book records for people who don't eat for the longest period? No.
Oh no! But they've got this new thing with with the fasting diet.
Yeah.
And those people are out of their minds. They say, "Yes, I'm fasting." So I said, "What do you mean you're fasting?" He said, "Well, in the middle of the day, I can only have some kale, and I can only have three nuts." And I go, "You're not fasting.
And three breasts.
You're just eating three nuts."
I actually know some diehard fast. Fasting fans, like they dry fast.
No, they believe in fasting.
They swear by it.
And also cleaning your body, where you shove coffee up your butt. And then
I've heard about that.
It's all crazy. But what happened, and it is all crazy, and people can scream at me and scream at me. I'm telling you, I'm right. I know it because I've been through this food fad business. And one of the things, I was reading an article, and it's funny how you read truth, and it doesn't really register, and then one day you're ready to hear it.
Right.
And it said that people use funny eating habits or diverse eating habits to gain attention.
Right.
And that is what they do.
Right,
so
right,
a militant vegan, and I don't know how the hell they can even get up in the morning, it's beyond me.
It's the 3 months, that's how.
Pardon?
It's the 3 nuts that they have during the
day. Yeah, the 3 nuts.
There you go.
No, the 3 nuts are the 3 vegans. That's what they are. Those are the 3 vegans.
Right.
They're playing around with their body, and it's wrong.
Right.
Because the only thing that'll keep us healthy, and listen, I almost died, and I almost died because I starved myself for 40 years. I starved myself and stuffed myself.
Right.
And I'm telling you that the most precious thing you've got is your health.
Yeah.
And I eat now, I eat a balance. For years, I never touched bread.
Wow.
I mean, you're looking at me now, and I think I'm obese. I know it's in my head.
I think same, pretty much. You guys can't see. I think she's pretty much obese.
Yeah, just roly-poly.
It took a while for this interview to happen because we couldn't get through the door. I had to get someone to open the double lock.
Through the door, folder
she's
double.
She's made it.
Folder
in fact,
double.
She's on a reinforced seat right now. I said, do you want to sit on the stage? She said, no, it might collapse.
Yeah, that's right.
I understand
now. Like Renata Tobaldi.
Yeah.
No, she and Pavarotti were singing on the same stage, and it collapsed.
So we better not sit on the stage.
Because I'll do it.
No.
I think they should tell them what I am. I'm 4'10". I'm 1 inch shorter. I am right on the line as a dwarf.
Wow.
And I weigh 90 pounds. So that's...
Do you get a special dwarf card if you're under the, under the height restriction
You just keep saying to people, for Christ's sake, put me down.
Right. You're just like kids sitting next to you on stage.
Yeah.
Like being...
Oh, yeah. Was that adorable?
Guys, we got to tell you about this. There's a guy that was on stage, and he must have been over 18 for you to be allowed in the common place.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Couldn't have been 18.
I don't know. 60, but he looked like he was a minor.
Oh, he looked like he was about 10.
He was taking it on daddy daycare.
So
and left by himself in the front
and nobody,
row.
Nobody was playing games with the guy that was with him because, obviously that's a pedophile.
Right, that's this the first thing you said, yeah.
Yeah, you're a little that pedophile,
brilliant.
That's what you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, what
are
you doing?
But, we were talking about the fact that you did comedy 10 years ago.
Right.
And, of course, I've been doing it now for 15, and it's totally different. First place, in Britain, when you started comedy 10 years ago, you could still earn a living at it. You could still earn a living at it, I think, 10 years ago.
Now you have to show your ass on the internet. Is that what it is? Now you have to show your ass on the internet for you to get any money.
Yeah, now you have to. Yes, now you have to be on TV. But also, the type of jokes you tell are very different. And I, when I was teaching this course, I was saying it's set up punch.
Yeah.
But when I listened tonight, an awful lot of it wasn't set up punch.
Right.
The stories.
Yeah.
It was.
The stories is big. That works a lot.
Stories. Yeah, but stories, you have to be very careful with stories. If you remember, I was doing the story about getting the ticket. Every second or third line is something funny.
Right, right.
If you don't do that,
Actually, there is a comedian called Joel Dommett. I'm going to call him out. It's fine. He does a lot of story, and for me, there's too much story and not enough. There's not enough
punch.
There's not enough punch.
Uh-huh.
It's jab, and the jab is not hitting enough for me.
You've got to have it. You've got to.
But he does well. He does well. He's a headline.
I'll give you a. They do
British comedian.
Honey, this is not a fair.
He's got a TV show.
Yeah, but this is
not hanging at all.
A fair profession. It's not
right,
a fair
right,
profession.
Right, 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 right. Yeah, he's white. He's over 6'4". He's got the Queen's British accent. I don't know.
No, I never. He's white. I'll never forget. I was in Amsterdam, and this white middle class guy gets up and he says, "Okay, I'm a white middle class dude. It's all my fault."
Right? Wow.
And everyone went, "Yes, it
wow.
is. Yes."
He just got conscience there all
yeah,
of a sudden.
That's why. That's why my little. if I were a man, I'd have to be a cunt. Always goes over so well, and it's not true. I think that it's. We've gotten to a stage now, and I think it's important to talk about this. The Me Too movement
right.
And the I Believe Her movement.
Right.
Believe me, I want women to have the power to come forward.
Yeah.
I was a victim
yeah.
of attempted rape. I know just exactly what it's like to have some stranger come and beat the living shit out of you
yeah.
and then walk away without even a scratch on him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you've got stitches and you've
yeah.
got backaches and you've got scars that
and
will
emotional,
never go away.
An emotional.
An emotional,
yeah.
an emotional
yeah.
scar that will never go away.
Yeah.
I know that, and I'm thrilled that women are speaking out, but an awful
Definitely.
Lot of women that are speaking out never had anything really big happen. They just want to get back
right.
at some guy,
right.
and that's wrong.
Yeah.
And what's happening now is that we're adopting a stereotype I absolutely hate, which is that all men are liars and
mm.
they're they abuse women and they take advantage of women, and for comedians it's gold.
Yeah.
I mean, I can use that all the time and it's
yeah.
really ha ha funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder how it feels to be a guy and think, gee, what do I do? Do I hold her coat for her because
right.
I think she's going to call me a cunt?
Right,
what do
right.
I do? Do I bring her flowers? Is she going
right.
to shove the flowers up my ass? What's going to happen? And then he doesn't do it and she
right.
says, "You brute! You have
right.
no
right.
savoir faire. You
right,
have no
right, right.
what kind of a shit are you?"
Yeah.
And there's this wonderful comedian. This is not my joke. It's absolutely
right.
wonderful kid. He's Christian and he
yeah.
opens for Stephen K. Amos. So anyone that's listening to
okay.
this might know who he is.
Okay.
It's the sweetest little kid.
Right.
He says the trouble is that women say, women don't ask for what they, don't know what they really want,
mm.
and they'll say, "Yeah, I'm looking for a man that's big and strong and crushes me in his arms and takes me when he wants me. And is really big and strong. Where are those men?"
Mm.
And this kid says, "I'll tell you where those men are. They're in prison."
Right.
And I absolutely. And I'm thinking, why didn't I think?
Well,
that?
They're probably outside doing security for the club.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
There you are. I've got to find Mark before he leaves. Anyway,
but this is his club. He's not going to leave. This is his place. He owns his place, right? He's
yeah,
a manager
right,
or something.
He's going to.
Oh, he's going to have to go early.
Have to go.
Yeah.
So, is there? Do you
okay.
have any questions?
I know. I mean, well, no, but just for comedic value, one of the things that in Britain growing up. As a child, we were told Jewish jokes, and the Jewish jokes were
very funny.
Yeah, and they're mostly about money.
They're mostly about money.
And me being Indian, money and Gujarati especially, we're known for being penny pinchers, like saving our buck and all these sort of things, and like and also
Jews
because
Jews also.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention that because we have that commonality. I don't know if you knew this.
No, but this is
right.
I certainly do.
Right.
And it's there's a Jack Benny is the classic in
yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
He was so tight, and he was Jewish.
Right.
He was so tight
yeah.
that somebody comes up to him and says he's walking on the street, and this is on the radio.
Right.
Radio? Does anybody listen to anything?
I know.
Radio? Yeah, and he's walking.
This is
on
the new
street.
Radio. Podcast is the new radio.
Thank God.
Basically,
and he's walking down the street, and somebody comes up to him and says, "Okay, your money or your life?" And there's a long pause, really long, and then he says, "I'm thinking," and it is. Very Jewish, but the truth is that Jews are much more interested in food than in money.
Right.
And I was getting into that when he gave me the light.
Okay.
Food is our complete addiction.
Right.
I mean, when my mother wanted to come on to my father, she would say, "Hey, honey,
yeah.
how about some French toast?" That happened twice.
Really?
I have a sister.
And one of them
was sister. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. This is
first one you were born. Second one is
because we don't. Our men are really crap at sex.
Right, right.
Now
right.
people are more diverse,
mm.
and it's not the stereotypes don't work anymore.
Mm.
But when I was a kid, the stereotypes did.
Right.
And Jewish men were crap at sex.
So, right.
But. They, and one of the things I absolutely love
is that why
is,
you went to Brighton just to see if they're still crap at sex.
No, because nobody there is Jewish. They're
right.
all
yeah.
they're all theys.
Yeah, that's true.
There's
it's not
no,
he or she. Yeah.
yeah, you can't know which is a man
I've got
which
friends
is a woman.
That they ask to be called they.
They
actually,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and they get very upset. They get very upset if you don't.
Mm.
And that also, it's the same thing as these eating that's eating crap. It's right. to bring attention to yourself. It's yeah. a lot of unhappy people. Mm-hmm. And the thing that you have to realize, the thing that makes you happy, is to come to terms with who you are within yourself. Yes. And it doesn't make any difference whether Definitely. You've got a dick, whether you've got a vagina, or how you yeah. use it. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference whether you're cheap or you're not cheap. It's you're the package, and that's yeah. the package you've got to love.
That's
Once
right.
you love that package, yeah. it doesn't make any difference.
I love how you said that, you know, this, I don't know if it was you, or, sorry, beg your pardon if it's not, but one of the comedians definitely said, like, I think it was you, maybe, like, this is what you're born with.
Yeah,
this is what it is.
This your, is the
yeah, yeah, this is your penis, is your breast, is your ass, whatever. This is what it is. This is how God's made that. So,
That's
like,
right.
you know, you've got, you've
and,
got
and, just, and the wonderful thing that I loved with this group of comedians is yeah. they used the pause.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The guy, who's the guy with the handlebar mustache? The
Paul Chowdhury.
Yeah, thinks yeah, he's
yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His personality is disgusting, but his comedy is marvelous.
Yeah, yeah,
and what
yeah.
he does is he uses the pause. He says very little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I actually noticed that.
And the girl from Holland, that in the beginning. The first
oh, right, no, I missed her. We came afterwards.
Oh, she
yeah,
was...
No, because we came straight from the comedy club, straight.
From,
yeah, yeah, from our rehearsal tonight. Yeah, yeah. If you're around, actually, I'll invite you. It's the 20th of January. It's in London. I don't know if you're here. It's on a Sunday.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Oh, 20th? No, in Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka.
Yeah,
we did a swap. You went to my neighboring country, yeah. and yeah,
I'm all over the world. I'm all over the world.
Okay,
And I love it. I really.
Where
love
were
it.
You brought up, by the way?
Toledo, Ohio.
Okay,
Toledo,
and Ohio. During the 40 years when you were like bulimic,
started,
was it anorexic?
I started. Nobody knew what it was.
Right.
It was 1930. I was born in 1933.
Wow.
Nobody knew who it was.
Okay.
It was some.
Because I was like, you couldn't have been in the USA for 40 years and be anorexic. Like, look how everybody else is. Or were you just trying to stand out?
No, that's
no.
true. No,
right,
I wasn't
right,
just
right.
trying to stand out.
No,
I was trying to disappear. I was trying to die.
Right, wow.
And I really was trying to die. I wanted to die very much. I realized it was a problem. I realized that the eating was a problem.
Mm.
When did I finally... when I graduated from college. But I'd had it since I was 16.
Really?
I anorexic and bulimic. That's
right,
what I did.
Right, right.
And I didn't really get it under control. Or I was 16. I didn't really have it under control until I moved to California.
Okay.
And that was later after California when I moved into my own house. And that was 50. I was 52.
Okay.
And so that's a long time to fight it. I had
that
no
is, yeah.
Psychiatric care, and I also had no support from my family.
Okay.
And I was talking about this because I'm about to write a book. And one of the things that happens when you have no support from your family, and my family was very abusive.
Mm.
And you are, if you listen to my comedy, not a very successful child.
Right, yeah.
I was not a successful
right,
child.
Right.
That you go one of two ways. You either completely dissolve and go nuts, or else you do what I did and say, no, I'm going to show them, no.
Right.
And I never really started comedy until I was 70.
Really?
And it is a beautiful career for me. It's absolutely wonderful. I should have. People say, are you sorry you didn't start earlier? And I say, no, because I couldn't have learned all the things I learned till I was 70.
Real,
but it is
definitely.
Very definitely
I mean,
a career
I can,
for me.
In my limited way, I can relate to that in the fact that, like, it was 2007, 2008 when I did my first stand-up comedy gig, and I was living at home at the time. My parents were away for like 2 weeks, so every day for like 3-4 hours, maybe 5 hours, I would rehearse. I would work my stuff. I had the whole place to myself. So when I did the comedy set, I was originally given like 5-6 minutes, and then there were like some flashing lights were happening. I was like, what's going on? Is it alien abduction or what? They were like, no, carry on from the side. I was like, okay, great, this is going good. I did like 15 minutes.
But that's the big sin. If you were supposed to do 5 minutes, you do 5 minutes.
The promoter said carry on.
That's all.
Yeah.
You do 5 minutes because you're hurting everybody else. And that's,
but when the promoters tell you it, but this is not the point. The point is that the fact that I now, after 10 years, I'm deciding to go back into it again because I've got
you
like
will love it.
Stuff in the
It's
know,
absolutely marvelous.
Stuff in the,
it's
in,
absolutely
in the tank.
Marvelous.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I need to do grocery
okay.
shopping.
All right, great.
So I want to thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much. If you please just tell the guys who you are on the Here Show again.
I'm Lynn Ruth Miller. This Wednesday, I'll be back at Top Secret, and I'll be at Angel. They're doing a charity thing, and I'm going to help them.
Okay.
And my website is www.lynnruthmiller.com. And I'm telling you, it's never too late to do crazy, dumbass shit.
Thank you so much, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Pleasure.
This is Jiten Patel. You've been listening to Here, Here. This is a show we haven't done in a long time. We are upstairs in the Secret Comedy Club in Top Secret Comedy Club. It's Top Secret. That's right. Top Secret. Thanks to Mark for allowing us to have this space. Yeah, you've got my gig coming up on January the 20th in 2019 in London, which is a Sunday. Go to comedynovices.com/store for the tickets. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. We love your comments. See you later. Bye-bye.